Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2491 with a release date of Friday, July 25th, 2025. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC prepares for a spectrum auction. Ham radio carries a message in a California rescue. And a new question pool for some hams in Canada. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2491 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week in Washington, D.C., where the FCC has announced it is ready to return to auctioning off parts of the spectrum and to overhauling the country's emergency alert systems. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us up to date.
In the U.S., the Federal Communications Commission is preparing for two major initiatives, the return of auctioning spectrum licenses and a top-to-bottom assessment of the nation's emergency alert system. The FCC's ability to auction spectrum had expired, but it was restored by a bill signed by President Donald Trump on July 4th. The frequencies eyed for this auction are in the so-called AWS-3 band for advanced wireless services. These are unused microwave frequencies that have been allocated for 5G commercial wireless. The auctions would be the first of their kind in the U.S. in 4 years. The FCC has also prioritized a system-wide re-evaluation of the nation's emergency communications technology. The emergency alert system makes use of radio and TV, while the wireless emergency alerts utilize mobile devices. The FCC is set to vote on moving ahead with this system-wide assessment at its August 7th meeting, with an eye toward pushing for upgraded technologies. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you took part in the IARU HF Championship on the second weekend of July, and you happened to work one of the five stations operating from the grounds of the Euston Estate in Suffolk, England, well, you were also part of the field test for the World Radio Sport Team Championship taking place next year. The five stations were on the air from actual site locations for an important training exercise. Testing of the masts, antennas, and radios, and a little experimentation to prepare for next year's competition. Volunteers got a chance to practice setup of the equipment and give a thorough test of the scoreboard and the IT networking system. Despite some minor issues, the exercise was declared a success, right down to the report from the operators that there were no issues with the interference between stations, which were all running 100 watts. The organizers wrote on the WRTC website, quote, "Activity will be different next year. Hopefully 10 meters will be more cooperative. And the interest in chasing 50 real WRTC stations will be higher," end quote. A globally prominent telecommunications expert whose input helped the IARU shape use of the amateur spectrum has become a silent key. We hear about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Global telecommunications governance was the speciality of David Court, EI3IO, who played a key part of the IARU Region 1 Executive Committee and a major force in such regional telecommunications organizations such as CEPT. David, who became a silent key earlier this month, infused his volunteer work with regulatory and technical expertise gained over the decades in his professional work in telecommunications policy and regulation. The IARU credits his input with helping to promote amateur access to the 6-meter band, the use of which was approved on a secondary basis in many countries during World Radio Communication Conference 19. The IARU announcement also credited David with successful defence of the amateur HF bands at times when sharing or relocation was proposed for other purposes. In 2020, David was presented with the IARU Region 1 Medal. There were no further details about his death. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The man who some hams call the most recognized QSL manager in the world has become a silent key. We hear about him from Cell MB, KB3TZD.
Devoted to chasing DX within a year of getting his ham radio license in 1956, Joseph Arcure, W3HNK, soon established a niche for himself as a QSL manager for hundreds of those DX stations. According to his obituary on the DX News website, Joe was so devoted to helping manage and send QSL mailings that he soon became, quote, the most recognized QSL manager in the world. He never refused a request from any ham seeking his QSL services, and often funded some of the mailings himself. Many praised him for the human touch he brought to every task, a quality that made many cherish the QSL cards they received. Joe became a silent key on Sunday, the 20th of July. According to his obituary, he confirmed 337 current DXCC countries as an operator. Over the years, he also became an enthusiastic de-expeditioner himself. In 1979, Joe was inducted into the CQDX Hall of Fame. The obituary noted that, quote, his legacy endures in every confirmation, every new contact, and every operator inspired by his example. Joe was 91. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
The reason this next story has a happy ending is because everyone did everything right. The search and rescue team, the ham radio operators, and, perhaps most importantly, the mother and son in need of rescue in a remote section of the National Forest in California. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, takes us there.
The GPS was to have safely guided a mother to a campground with her 9-year-old son on July 11th. Instead, it mapped a route that left their car stuck in the rugged terrain after they lost their GPS signal. Hours later, they were reported missing to the Calaveras County Sheriff's Office by a caller who had the mother's travel agenda and said the family had failed to check in as they had planned. A search and rescue team was dispatched in 4-wheel drive vehicles to the area the next day, where campers reported that they had seen the family sedan. The team soon discovered handwritten notes posted by the mother at nearby locations, indicating that the vehicle was stuck and they were stranded. The boy, meanwhile, periodically blew a whistle in 3 short bursts, an audible, universal distress call. Mother and son were found safe at their car, only a mile or so away from where the notes were posted. Because of the thick canopy of Stanislaus National Forest, the rescue team could not use cell service or the usual radio frequencies to update the command post. But one team member, a licensed ham, used his amateur radio to hit the KA6 GWI repeater in Placerville. It bears the call sign of Frank Yost, a retired El Dorado County communications supervisor who was monitoring the frequency at the time on 146.805 MHz. He passed the call along to emergency dispatch, and the message was quickly relayed to Calaveras County. Lieutenant Greg Stark, one of the search and rescue coordinators, told Newsline everyone, including mother and son, did everything right. He said that the team was able to safely transport mother and son, extricate the car, and let the command post know that no helicopters or additional backup resources were needed. He said that one backup resource proved invaluable: ham radio. It also provided some inspiration. The lieutenant told Newsline, quote, it enhanced our communication ability, and now it has spurred some of our other team members to look at getting their license, end quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N5OZG repeater in New Orleans, Louisiana, on Sundays at 8 p.m. The questions on the basic level exam for hams in Canada have changed. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has more details.
A team of volunteers from provinces throughout Canada is developing a new bank of questions for the Advanced Amateur Radio Certificate, according to the Radio Amateurs of Canada website. Many members of this team completed the new question pool for the basic level certificate earlier this year, and it was released in January by Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada. The questions took effect for basic examinations starting on the 15th of July, providing the first major update for that level of examination since 2013. Writing on the RAC website, Dave Goodwin, Victor Echo 3 Kilo Golf, the RAC's regulatory affairs officer, said the 984 questions were developed by a committee of 20 instructors and accredited examiners, many of whom are now working on the advanced level questions. Those questions are expected to become available in 2026. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Now, here's an idea we'd like to float in your direction. British Inland Waterways on the air. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what's involved.
If you use the lakes, canals, or other waterways in Great Britain almost as much as you use your radio, now is the time to combine the two activities. Registration has begun for British Inland Waterways on the Air, which takes place during the August bank holiday weekend. The organisers are encouraging early registration, hoping that radio operators will identify the days and on what modes they are operating. The event takes place on Saturday the 23rd of August to bank holiday Monday the 25th. You can operate on or near the various waterways throughout the UK. Primary bands will be 2 metres and 40 metres. If you'd like to register or see who is already on board for the weekend, visit the website in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, a team of hams from the UK will be on the air as GM0FRT/P from the Shetland Islands, IOTA number EU012, until the 28th of July and will be active in the IOTA contest. Outside of the contest, they will be using CW and single sideband on 30, 17, and 12 meters, as well as FT8 on 6 and 4 meters. QSL via Logbook of the World. Members of the Korean Amateur Radio League's HQ station, 6K OMF in Chungbuk, are marking the 80th anniversary of liberation of Korea from Japanese rule by operating as HL80V from August 1st through to the end of the month. See QRZ.com for details. In Malaysia, members of the Terengganu DX Aries Group in West Malaysia are celebrating the 68th anniversary of independence from British rule by operating from the 1st of August through to the 30th of September using the call sign 9M1957M on CW, single sideband and FT8 modes on 80 through 10 meters, QSL direct to 9M2RDX. Steve ZL2KE will be active again as E51KEE from Rarotonga, IOTA number OC013 in the South Cook Islands from the 3rd through to the 18th of August. Steve will be using CW, some single sideband on 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. QSL via IK2DUW direct. See QRZ.com for additional details. We also remind listeners that amateurs around the world will be on the air for International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend on August 16th through to the 17th. More than 250 lighthouse entries will be active in more than 40 countries. For a list of registered lighthouses, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Our final story is about both a first and a last. The last summit in the SOTA DL Association to be activated is a first for a very determined ham in Germany. We hear about him from Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Despite 18 years as a SOTA activator that have won him at least 2 high-ranking awards for operating in the German Alps, Diani's DD1LD had some unfinished business. This month, it stood before him, all 2,430 metres of it above sea level. The Tiefkar Spitzer, the single summit in the SOTA DL Association that had gone unactivated in the 20 years since SOTA DL was established in Germany. His harrowing mountain ascent on July 18th was punctuated by intense rockfall. Not unexpected, but nonetheless terrifying. As he wrote in his blog, he was compelled to ask, quote, "Why do I keep doing this to myself?" End quote. Still, he made it to the summit, where he soon logged his first QSO with his good friend Mario DJ2MX. Then came the pile-ups. Finally, he went QRT after one more QSO. Another close friend, Andy DL2DVE. With 66 in his log, he had transformed that lonely, daunting rocky outpost into a shared space among friends. Diani's as solar activator had turned a personal challenge into a triumph for himself and the DL Association. As he wrote in his blog, quote, "I let my feelings run free," end quote. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
A good QSO can be like poetry. Sometimes. So, why not write a haiku about amateur radio and join the Newsline Haiku Challenge? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. We can only accept the correct haiku format, however. That is, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on the website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, the ARRL, Cord Cutters News, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, 425 DX Bulletin, the FCC, the IARU, International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend, Lieutenant Greg Stark, Calaveras County Search and Rescue, Nunsfield House Amateur Radio Group, QRZ.com, Radio World, Radio Amateurs of Canada, shortwaveradio.de, The Soda Reflector, Wireless Institute of Australia, WRTC 2026, Zero Retries Newsletter, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operations. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.